Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fortress Comic News, episode 334.1. I'm your only host today, Chris, as Mike is off again into the ether. So I got to sit down with Mark Frankel from Wayward Raven, a longtime guest of the show, one of the OGs from the show, guy we love. And we just chatted about the We Suck at Comics anthology, volume 2, now accepting submissions and what they're looking for, and what we can expect to see from the Kickstarter, hopefully early next year. And then we also go on tangents talking about beer and fun and all kinds of other stuff. So it was a fun conversation, got a lot out of it. And if you are a comic creator looking to submit, you have a short story that you can't get out there or haven't gotten out there, this could be the place, because he's looking for submissions, and we talk about it in the interview. So before we jump off to that, follow me on the social media network of choice, at Fortress Chris, whether that's X, Blue Sky, whatever it is, I'm probably on there. And if you want to support the show, the absolute best way is to give us a 5-star review on Podcatchers, or to go on the YouTube and like, subscribe, share, comment down below on that version of the show. And if you want to go the extra mile, patreon.com/fortresscomics. So enough of that. Let's move over to my chat with Frank, and hope you all enjoy. All right, everybody. We got another very special guest for you all, returning special guests from Wayward Raven, Mark Frankel. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing good. You actually just caught me after a workout, so I'm going to be the douche that drinks my protein shake every so often, well, so everybody knows.
It makes you feel better. I'm drinking my whiskey, so, you know. I did my first thing in the morning, you know, so I'm due.
I normally, for my day job, I wake up at like 3 a.m. just to get to work, so there's no working out. I'm not getting up earlier.
No. It's not happening. Dude. 3 a.m. is, that's like when I want to go to bed. If it was left to me, I'd be up till 3 in the morning, get up, crack a noon, you know?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
That's my rhythm, you know?
Man. I listen to some of these like real podcasters, and and that's the life they live. And I'm just like, I'm so fucking jealous.
Just want to keep my bottle of whiskey here and just do my shit till 3 in the morning, right? And then just pass out. Yeah.
Be great.
Yeah.
But alas, we have day jobs.
Something to say about that. Like, I just see them sitting there like poking me with a stick. Like, you going to get up? Is he dead? He might be dead. Call the police. I saw him twitch a little bit. He'll get up.
So, what you guys been up to over at Wayward Raven?
Yeah.
I'll talk to you in a minute.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. I think last time we talked to you, we were talking about the Kickstarter, right?
Yeah, We Suck at Comics.
Yeah. So here it is. Look at this sucker. Look at this. This is a weighted tome. I mean, this is 288 pages.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
That came in the mail.
Yeah.
And I got it, and I'm like, what the fuck did I order? Because I get a bunch of Kickstarters. I order stuff in the toilet. I don't know what's going on in my life. and I open it up and I'm like, oh, it's the Wayward Raven book. That's cool. And I pull it out and I'm like, they didn't tell me it was this big.
You're like, I'm using it as a doorstop. It's a paperweight. Like, holy shit. Yeah, it's a big ass book.
It's a lot of comic, man.
Yeah. And a lot of content. I mean, we had 17 different creative teams, like 17 different stories, and they're like all over the place. They're not like, there's no just one style or, you know, what, like you've got short comics, you've got longer form comics, you've got prose, you know, and it's a nice, you know, kind of mix up of a lot of different things.
Yeah, I think what was nice about it for me is, and I don't know, I think this is a compliment, but you let me know if I'm shitting on your book.
That's a backhanded one. You know, for a book that big, it only smelled half as good as I thought it would.
No, but it was the book I had next to my bed where all my other comics are. And I would, you know, every night I try to read 2 to 4 comics is usually my goal.
Nice.
And I would read a couple of comics and then I would pull that out and read a story or two out of that. And then I'd put it away. It wasn't the book that I sat down and just read in one sitting. Yeah. It was that like thing in between other stuff that bridged that gap. It was, I really liked reading it that way.
Yeah, you're not the only person that's told me that. We've had a number of folks say that I picked it up and it was cool because, like, hey, I got to read a story and then I would put it down. I would come back and I'd read another story. And there wasn't like, there was nothing in there that was so long that it was like, okay, I got to put a bookmark in it. I'll come back to this. Right. Yeah. And then it was kind of like, okay, you know, I could decide. Like, some of them we had probably up to maybe 22 pages worth of comics. Right. So it's like if you wanted to read a full comic, you could. Or if you wanted, hey, I'm just going to read this, you know, 3-page piece of prose, I could do that too, you know. And I had people tell me that someone was telling me they actually read it. They popped around. They didn't read it linearly. They went, okay, I'm going to read this story and then I'll read this one. And it was kind of based on just what they were feeling like. They eventually read the whole thing, but it wasn't just cover to cover. It was basically, you know, kind of back and forth and all over the place.
I think that person's a psychopath.
Maybe. But that's our fan base. That we encourage that. We're part of that. We are that. You know, I mean, that's, you know, we here at Wayward Raven support chaos, and that's what we're about.
There was a book recently. I think it was a Big Two book too, but it was one of those like they wrote it in the style of a choose your own adventure.
Oh,
and it, nice. Listen, cool idea. I like people doing creative stuff, whatever. It gave me so much Ajna because I got to read it straight. So I just ignored the fact that it was a choose your own adventure and just read it straight.
You're like, oh, he's dead now. He's dead. Oh, and he's back to life. you know what? I remember as a kid, those choose your own adventures, you'd always read them like this. You're like, all right. Well, hold on. Maybe I'll go here. Oh, no, I'm not going there. And you'd have like your fingers in between the book the entire time because you're constantly going, no, I don't want to do that. I got to go back and see what this other thing
is. It's the original version of save scumming in video games.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I don't like that, how that turned out. Like, yeah, I'm going to go back to the old save.
We got to do that again. I could kill more. I could do better. I could do better. That's. Yeah. No, totally. Totally. It's. I still remember that. That's crazy. I hadn't thought about that in years.
Yeah, so the book came out. You guys had a really good Kickstarter, pretty successful from what I remember. And like I said, I was telling everybody the whatever show was after it coming to my house. I was just like, guys, I don't think I'm going to review this book on the show. I might mention it a few times, but like all I can say right now is look how fucking big this thing is. And like I got right now, I've got this next to me, and this is 2 volumes of a manga, and that book is bigger than this, like thicker than this.
Yeah, nice.
And I was shocked at, and it was good too. Like there was a lot of good stuff in there, which is rare in a anthology like that. So I think I did a really great job of collecting good stories as well, which must have been quite the task.
It was a little challenging, you know, but we were lucky in that we've been doing this long enough. So we know some folks that definitely want to be a part of it. We've met some folks along the way that have wanted to do things. And that includes literally folks who've never published something before, clear on through to folks that have been doing it almost as long as we have. So it's just this nice, there again, range of different stories and range of different perspectives. And you know, I mean, you've got folks that have probably been in the industry, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And, you know, I can think of at least one story where, you know, he approached us at the New York Comic Con the year before and said, hey, I have something I want to do. And we're like, well, send it over. We've got this thing going on, you know. Yeah. It gave Alex Fitz, though. I'll tell you that. As the guy who put the whole thing together, like, you know, we'd bring it up and you'd see him get twitchy. You know, he's like, I'm working on it.
Is that why his art got crooked afterwards?
Yeah, he started leaning. You know, he's like, yeah, he's going to a therapist now.
Hence why he couldn't be here today. He's at his therapist, everybody.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. he said, fuck, they're going to talk about We Suck at Comics, and it just makes me twitchy. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was successful. You had all this fun that we're talking about now. So you said, hey, let's do it again.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Proving we are complete psychopaths or gluttons for punishment or however you want to look at it. But there's definitely something broken within us because we said this was successful and a whole lot of work and we want to do it again. Yeah.
So is this new one? I know it's going to be called Coloring Outside the Lines for this one.
Yep.
But is it same idea? Just you need to add a little subtitle to it to make it different, or
yeah. So we wanted a little bit of a different theme. So the first time it was about rejection, right? Mm-hmm. And we said, look, you know, pitch it to us. Tell us why it's, you know, why it fits the theme of rejection. And that could have been, listen, the story literally got rejected. It could have been, you know, it has themes about rejection or, you know, whatever, or anything. Like give us a reason why it fits the theme. And actually one of the cool things that I really liked in it is if you look, when you have a little kind of, you know, everybody's got their bio page, right? So that's Alex's. Mm-hmm. And it kind of talks about why it fits the theme of rejection, right? So you can get a piece of that. So I think we're going to do that again with this next one. It's still going to be We Suck at Comics, but volume 2 is really called Coloring Outside the Lines. And similarly, you know, we're not necessarily looking for a messy colorist, although if you happen to have one and it's good stuff, we're cool with that. But really it's about, you know, stretching boundaries, pushing boundaries. You know, I mean, that's something we love doing. We love, you know, looking at things different ways, pushing boundaries, whatever it is. So we want people who've got that, you know, crazy story, that, you know, that interesting piece of artwork, because that's the other thing. We're not just accepting comics and prose, but we're now also accepting standalone pieces of art up to 5. So we can kind of have that interstitial, right, pieces between some of the different between some of the different books and things like that to really showcase people's artwork.
That's really cool. So, I mean, coloring outside the lines, kind of breaking barriers and all that. Yeah. So you haven't open submissions yet, right?
They're open. They are absolutely open right now. Okay. If you go to waywardraven.com, the very first thing you're going to see is that, you know, We Suck at Comics. And then the place where you can click on the link and go check things out. And you'll see everything from kind of a much bigger synopsis of the guidelines and kind of what we're looking for, what we're about. Clear on through the submission form, and then also even a way to order volume 1 if you still don't have your copy. So mm-hmm. Yeah,
so have you gotten any yet that have released, like, pushed that boundary of Coloring Outside the Lines is, like, have you gotten the book that's like, it's Superman, but, like, listen, he's purple, so we're really
we've gotten some really cool ones, even like so one of the themes I always enjoy, you know, you can see behind me the Horseman page. That's from Horseman book 2. That's the cover. But one of the things we always loved with Horseman was there was this whole theme of fate and destiny, and planets that were ruled by fate and destiny literally became black and white, right? And so we got a submission that I thought was really cool that also did that kind of mixing, not necessarily the same way, but mixed that kind of black and white artwork with, you know, periodic colors for emphasis and meaning and things like that. And I love it. I think it's awesome. I mean, we're really excited about some of these like that. Absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. And I like that you sort of changed the theme of the book instead of just doing it again.
Yeah.
And it should make it a little more interesting for you as well. Probably a little more cheerful, not dealing with rejection so much, but
I mean, we were going to go through all the stages of grief, but, you know, I mean, we don't see ourselves getting to acceptance.
I would like to see the acceptance anthology.
Yeah. The acceptance anthology. Yeah, just the two of us there's a whole bunch of blank pages with us going, no,
it's just, everybody accepting that they still suck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. pictures of us like this. Fuck. I just fuck. Fuck. Yeah.
So yeah, you guys are rocking it with this, trying to get submissions. I guess for submissions, what are you looking for? I know some submission processes, it can be the whole thing needs to be done. Some are writers could send something in and the publisher will hook them up with artists. I mean, where do you want
your submission to be? Number one, really. So like we want to get this to the point where we're putting it out maybe, you know, once, twice a year, you know, maybe it gets to a quarterly, something like that. But right now, we don't have the bandwidth to sit down and work with folks on individual stories and pair people up and stuff like that. So we're really looking for folks that have stuff that's already done, right? And that's what we did with the last one too. I think we had a couple stories we were kind of waiting on, and that slowed things down a little bit. So I think it's kind of a hard, it's basically a hard guideline for us to say, look, it's got to be done if you're going to submit it, because we don't want to delay the book. And if and when we do go to the Kickstarter, we want to make sure that we're being, you know, we're getting that to the folks that bought it as quickly as possible, right?
Yeah.
You know, Kickstarter is an adventure. It is. And so it's, you've done it. I'm sure you've seen it. I mean, it's like, I've had stuff show up at my house, you know, so late that I'm like, shit, I forgot I had that. And like, honestly, I kind of shrug. I'm like, I get it, because I've been through the process and I know how fucking tough it is to do. So I think we really want to be able to deliver as soon as possible for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it. I think the goal for Kickstarters should be to have the project done before launching. Now, I didn't know how big this book was going to be when I pledged to it, but a book this size might be a little bit different. I'm more talking like if you're doing a 22-page book, yeah, it should probably be done before you launch. At least, I mean, like not printed, because that's probably what you're doing the Kickstarter for, but the art and everything should be all set.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty standard nowadays with a lot of books. But yeah, I mean, I've had books. I had a book show up 5 years after the Kickstarter this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I have shout out to Frank Martin, who always gets the book out to people like within the month of the Kickstarter. Like there's everybody in between. And yeah, I do get it. It's a lot of work. And none of us are doing this full time.
Yeah.
This is all a side passion, really, for a lot of us. So,
yeah,
it's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get it to the point where we're doing this and we're have this kind of rolling submissions and we can kind of, you know, okay, we'll start working with you and whatnot. I would love to do that. Mm-hmm. We're just not there yet, because it's a very small group of us, you know. We get a ton of awesome support from the creator community though. So that's always really, really appreciated. But it's tough. It's tough to, like you said, it's tough to do full time right now. You know,
you get that support because you bring the beer. That's what's going on.
Yeah. You know, I mean, our new reflective sticker. Look at that bad boy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Right.
I still have the Heffenweizen you gave me when we first met.
Nice. Nice. Oh man, I made a batch of that earlier this year. I think I got maybe 2 6-packs left of it. That's one of my favorites. I absolutely love that beer. It drinks so easy, man.
And it's, yeah, I mean, I love Heffenweizen, don't get me wrong, but I kept that because it's such a conversation piece where people are like, why is this like random beer bottle here? I'm like, well, let me tell you about these guys.
Yeah. No, man, I love hooking people up with that. I mean, you just see people's eyes light up. They're like, is that real? Yeah, it's real. And if you buy enough stuff, I'll give you one. You know?
I still say it's one of the most ingenious things I've ever seen at a con. Just buy our comics and get beer. And I'm like, I think me and Mike were both at the con together. And we walked up to it. It was like, so what do we got to do to get beer? It's like, I got to buy comics. I was going to buy comics anyway, so I might as well get beer with it.
Ow, they're twisting my arm again. Okay, fine. I'll take the beer. You would be surprised, though. every now and then people just look at you like, nah. I'm like, really? Really? Like, I get it. If you don't drink, it's cool, whatever. Yeah. That's not a judgment or anything like that. But like, I'm often surprised sometimes when people are like, no, it's okay. I'm like, oh, okay. More for me. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, if I could take more home, then that's more beer I get to drink.
Yeah, exactly. 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 I have one brewing right now that we're going to bring to New York Comic Con. It's an Oktoberfest. And I finally got my shit together to go, hey, New York Comic Con happens in October. And I can make an Oktoberfest as opposed to going, well, let's make a Hefeweizen or let's make an IPA or let's no, make a beer that's appropriate for the season for once, Mark, you know?
And one of the best seasonal beers of all time. I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely.
I love Oktoberfest. It's my favorite of all. And it's sad that it lasts like a month. Although now I'm seeing it stretched. Like we already have it here. Yeah. It's early September and it makes me happy.
Yeah.
And we actually have a German restaurant in the town I live in.
Oh.
And they do a big Oktoberfest extravaganza. And it's dangerous because not only are there a bunch of Oktoberfest beers from Germany.
Yeah.
But it's a German restaurant. So it's sauerkraut, sausage, and just diabetes that makes me happy.
That's so perfect. it's so perfect. We took a trip up. So about once a year, we take a trip up to Vermont, right? And we'll go hit a bunch of the breweries. And, you know, it's you never know which one or what. But the one year I was looking and I'm like, you know what? Von Trapp, which to me is kind of like I shrug. It's like it's a good beer, whatever. Mm-hmm. I've had it. It's, you know, we're like, you know, we need a place to eat. And Von Trapp's on the way to here, whatever. I'm like, let's just stop. They're getting their food's getting good reviews, whatever. We went there. The food was amazing. It was perfect with their beer. Like I couldn't have said to you, these two things work more perfectly, right? Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And, you know, it was super fresh and whatever. And, you know, like I said, I like their beer, but I was never like, oh my God, I have to get it. Now, next time I go up to Vermont, we have to stop there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best jobs in the world is the cook at the brewery. Because a buddy of mine does that. That's what he does for a living. And the poor bastard has to go to work every day and drink the beer that's going to be as part of the menu so he can make sure that the food fits the palate.
Yeah.
And I feel terrible for him because that's just a rough day's work.
That's horrible, man. Get up, taste beer, make food, taste beer, taste food with beer.
Man. Yeah, I mean, I just want to get him a job doing manual labor like me so he can take a break once in a while.
Dude, you'd have to like, you know, pry him away from that place. You know, I like it just wouldn't happen. Like why would you ever leave that job? That's amazing.
No, I mean, it would have to be like, I can get you $1 million a year. And then even then he might be like, but like, yeah, but I can do real work.
Yeah. Like the beer and I make sausage and I might've been a little heavy handed on this one. I tested it out. It's coming in about 8.5%.
Oh.
But yeah, it's got a nice, just smooth, easy, little bit of sweetness, like a little bit of a caramelly molasses sort of, you know, almost a little bit of Heath Bar sort of feel to this one. So
I like those higher proof beers now because the older I get, I become what we used to call I probably shouldn't say what we used to call it, but like I'm become a lightweight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, this is a funny story. I was down in Florida when I was visiting Travis Gibb, friend of the show, friend of mine. And he brought me to this comic shop who the comic owner decided I own a comic shop and I want beer on tap in my comic shop.
Yeah.
So the man's a genius.
Yeah.
And we went there and I drove 4 hours to get out there. I did not eat anything all day.
Oh.
And it's like 3-4 o'clock. And I made the decision like, oh yeah, let's have a beer here. And I had an IPA because that's usually what I drink. Mm-hmm. And it was a very heavy one. And it was one of those tall boys. And we're like finished. And I just look at Travis. And I'm like, I'm gonna lie to you, dude. I'm a little drunk right now. and I got to drive 4 hours back to where I came from.
Ooh, I've done that like that, that we're going to go to a brewery. We're going to, you know, we're going to hang out, whatever. And, oh yeah, you know, I had something for breakfast, but by the time you get there at noon or 1 o'clock or whatever, yeah, you're like, you should just go right and get food immediately, then get your beer, because
yeah,
sometimes you get those ones and they're sneaky. Those triple IPAs, they don't taste like triples anymore, man.
No, there's one where in the town I live in, there's a brewery here, and they have one that is, it's a fruit smoothie.
Oh,
there's no beer in that thing, but it's an IPA. Damn. And it's dangerous. I mean, I personally don't really like it. It's too like sweet and sugary for me.
Yeah.
But I could see where people could have a bad time on that.
I like those every now and then. There's a brewery that I've gotten stuff from. Every now and then, when someone comes down from Rochester or something like that, there's a brewery there called Mortalis, and they are literally just like, this is a fruit smoothie. It's orange juice. It's whatever. And it's delicious, but you can have like one or two of those. I mean, it totally burns your palate out after a while. You're like, oh, another smoothie.
I brought one of those to a family gathering. It was actually a Thanksgiving one year, and a lot of my family was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And they always come up here for the wine and the beer. So I brought a bunch of stuff down. That was my like addition to Thanksgiving, was here beer. Nice. And I brought one of those down because I tried a sample of it. It's really good. But after one, I'm like, I couldn't do this. One and I'm good. The best I had that year, we had a place around here that did a brown ale, and they finished it with stuffing.
Oh.
So it was a brown ale that had like stuffing taste to it. And that sounds terrible.
No,
it was phenomenal.
Delicious. That's Thanksgiving in a bottle right there, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
We did the most Pennsylvania redneck thing ever and had the big screen TV in the backyard drinking this beer. And it was phenomenal.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, I know last time I was down in Philly, I saw you guys got another half. And let me tell you, if you haven't been there, you need to go there because they make amazing IPAs. And they are like, they range from like that creamy to that just, you know, fruit smoothie to whatever, that New England style. And it's amazing. Like it's, yeah. Another one where you're like, oh, this is a triple. Oops.
Oh, that's my plan. Cause next year I think we're taking a trip down to Philly, see an Eagles game and do the whole thing. And, but we're going to do it this year, but a friend of mine decided to get married or something. And
what?
Bum.
Man, you told him not to do it, right? You know,
he got one of the good ones, so I encouraged him to go through. I was like, lock that one up. You ain't finding better than that, man. Trust me, I date a lot. You ain't finding better than that.
Nice. My wife and I will joke around. We'll be like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. We were driving by. My kids are in the back, and they looked at us like, what? We're driving by a church the one day. Mm-hmm. And we looked over and, you know, you see the wedding get out or it's going in or whatever. And she looks at me. I look at her and I'm like, should we roll the window down and be like, don't do it. Don't do it. And both kids are like, why would you say that? What's wrong with you? We're like, because mommy and daddy have effed up senses of humor. That's why.
No, he for the longest time, because we were planning this earlier in the year before he like proposed and everything. And he for the longest time was like, no, we're still going to do it. We're still going to do it. And he's getting married here at the end of September. And they're going on their honeymoon beginning of October.
Wow.
And the plan was to go late October. And I kept saying to him, I was like, we're not going now. And he goes, no, I'll be fine. I go, dude, walk up to your future wife right now and say, immediately when we get back from our honeymoon that we're spending thousands of dollars on, I want to spend another thousand or more dollars to drive down with my friends to see a football game and see how that goes.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, you're probably a good point.
It's a good point. Hey, honey, I know we just got back, but I'm leaving you like immediately to go see football with the boys. Yeah. She probably looked at him and she's like, listen, I got this and you're never seeing them again, ever.
That's the joke we make. We'll never, he's, he's gone. We're never seeing him again.
He's in the wind. It's over. You're going to have to get married to see him again so you can go on those little double date things and, you know, go out to cute little boutique restaurants and things.
Oh, that's the rough one. Like, all my friends are now getting married. And, like, yeah. Now if I want to see them, like, I don't know, I got to go hire somebody or something.
You have to find a way into polite society, you know, clean up a little bit, put on a suit jacket. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, people like me aren't allowed. Not allowed to go to brunch.
Yeah. I mean, you're allowed, but you got to stay outside the restaurant and stare in just angrily, you know, window like, bro. Yeah.
So I'm not sure how we got here, but.
I could recap it if you want, but that you don't want that. It'll go sideways even further.
But we got volume 2, We Suck at Comics, going on. You guys are trying to get submissions through. So everybody out there should definitely go to the website and check out the submissions. Is that your big push right now, or do you have other projects going on? Do you have something you want to announce here, like the return of Horsemen or something?
Yeah. So that's the big thing. I mean, we still Horsemen's definitely done. Once we get into a graphic novel form, man, we put it to bed. We're good. We could probably revisit the universe. It would be fun to do, but yeah, the next projects for us. So aside from We Suck at Comics Volume 2, I got to finish up The Ascendant. So that's definitely the next one we got to probably roll up into a graphic novel. We also are working with a young lady, Catherine, who we're putting together her graphic novel. And so we're pushing the finishing touches on that. We'd be going over letters with her right now. And so I expect to have that one out, probably not by New York Comic Con, because we're just not quite at that stage. But I would say by early next year. And pretty good likelihood that we'll probably look to do a Kickstarter with that one too. Absolutely gorgeous artwork. She's an amazing artist. You know, and I'm looking forward to maybe putting up some sneak peeks of that fairly soon. But yeah.
So you said you got to finish your Ascendant. So your work is still going on.
Yeah.
Are you kind of transitioning to try to get other people's stuff out, or do you still have this passion to make your own stuff?
Still passionate about making my own stuff, but we really do love helping others. We love getting other people's stuff out there too. To that end, I mean, I think we're trying to do both. I feel like lately we've probably been a little bit more on the side of getting other people's stuff out and pushing other people's stuff. But, you know, Damn Heroes is still going on every Wednesday, so Alex and I still put that out. You know, Alex and I actually submitted a story that we did together for another anthology, Unknown Heroes, and that's going to be coming out soon. The Kickstarter was successful there, so we'll see that book come out pretty soon once they have the finishing touches on that. So we're still doing stuff, in some cases together, in some cases separately, but definitely want to move into the realm of helping other people and getting their stuff out too.
That's cool. That's good to hear. I mean, you guys have done a lot of stuff, a lot of successful stuff at that too. And to use that knowledge to help others is a good thing. And yeah. I'm glad to hear you guys making that move.
Yeah, we love doing that. We love helping other people. I mean, here's the thing. It's a community, right? And we want to support that community. We look at it like, you know, a high tide raises all boats. So that was the whole idea behind We Suck at Comics. You know, as funny and tongue-in-cheek as that is, nothing in there sucks. It's awesome. And everybody who put something in there really worked hard at it. So like, we want to do more of that. We want to get people recognized. That's fun for us.
Yeah, I can confirm. I mean, maybe some of the stories aren't for you, but the quality is there. And that's something I think a lot of people in this and most communities need to understand. Like, it doesn't suck because you didn't like it. It just wasn't for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the quality's there for all the stories. So that was a big thing that I was shocked at, because you get these anthologies and sometimes there's a book or a story in there. It's like, what is this doing here?
Yeah.
And yeah. When DC does them or Marvel does them, they get some of them too. So kudos to you guys for getting a lot of good stuff that I thought was all high quality.
Thank you. Yeah. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And have you, thought, I mean, I know you're in the submission process, so I'm probably like jumping into the future here, but have you thought about when if we could see it on Kickstarter or when
so
people
I'm
start seeing stories?
Early next year, it's mm-hmm. looking like we're, so we've put submissions open until mid-November, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we want to use some of this con season to go out, talk to people, talk it up, you know, continue meeting people, continue networking, continue having them look at stuff. So in New York and Rhode Island. But that being said, if we get to that page count, right, before then, so that's the other thing I've been telling people, like, don't wait, don't go, I have till November. And I know we as creators, we have that tendency to go, ah, no, I'll get it done. I have other things to do. I got this, I got that. It's like, look, don't wait, because once we hit that page count number, that shuts submissions down also. We love putting out a 288 page book, but there were some logistical problems with that, right? It was big. It was a lot. It was, you know, it was a little bit more expensive to print. It took a little bit more time to get that out there. And honestly, for the Kickstarter, I would love to do a hardcover and make that like hardcover for everybody. And with this last one, we really only had the funds to do it for the folks that paid for the hardcover upgrade, right? Mm-hmm. So being able to kind of slim it down a little bit, have a little bit more forethought with it, that would probably make it so that everybody gets a really cool hardcover for that Kickstarter.
Does that go into, I mean, I know the cost goes into page count and everything, but
yeah,
is the difference in that many pages, the difference between a hardcover being super expensive and not?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. And actually one of our printers wouldn't even do the hardcover. So we had to kind of go find that somewhere else. You know, and so that, and it wasn't that they didn't do hardcover. It was that after a certain page count, they wouldn't even entertain it. So,
wow.
Yeah. We're, you know, it's funny. We're always learning these little lessons, right? You know, every time we think we know, oh, we know it all. We know it all. Something else comes up and you're like, oh, okay. That's new. Yeah. So that one came up. We just assumed, okay, everybody can get a hardcover with this, you know, if we do this right. And then we started like looking at it. And before we launched the Kickstarter, we realized we can't. We're going to have to find another place to get hardcovers.
Every story I hear about printing, it's like printing's a weird world, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It is. And it's great. And look, there's some great places where you can get some really great deals out there. But then the flip side is now you need to get 1,000. You know what I mean? Or you know, which is great for some Kickstarters to do that, right?
Yeah.
We had... I forget how many, I don't remember off the top of my head how many people sponsored us, but it was big, but it wasn't quite there. Right. but we're definitely looking to build on that. And hopefully if we keep putting out quality products and people keep liking them, then, you know, that's something that'll build. Maybe we can start hitting those sort of numbers and, you know, getting some of those cost savings and then passing that on to folks too, because we're really not about gouging people. We want to put stuff in people's hands, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Kickstarter is a long game. Mm-hmm. Your first one should be your worst one. Should.
Yeah. Ours was.
you just grow from there. And half that battle is just getting the book into people's hands.
Yeah. We've done 5 now, I mm-hmm. think. And yeah, the first time we did it, man, we didn't know anything. I mean, I was like blown away, like, what, why doesn't this happen? Why doesn't this work? Why won't, you know, there's this kind of mystique that nobody tells you that you just because you put it up at Kickstarter doesn't mean anybody's going to see the damn thing. You know,
it's weird too. The stuff that like you and I may not care about.
Yeah.
But that's what hits.
Yeah.
And it could be like, if something is, I use this, and I don't mean this derogatory, because I know people that make, you know, what I call sexy books,
mm-hmm.
But sexy covers, or what we jokingly call booby covers, because it's usually mm-hmm. a woman in a pose.
Yeah.
Like, are huge on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm just like, who gives a shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of people, that's who.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. It's crazy. I would never have. It wouldn't cross my mind. Like, I want to tell a really cool, interesting story. And look, that can have stuff in it, right?
Yeah.
And Lord knows we've had stuff that definitely has some sexual content with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree. It's surprising how that seems to be one of the biggest draws.
Right? Yeah. But then, yeah. I mean, that's an extreme example, but then like how a lot of people will complain about like, oh, I got a bookmark with my Kickstarter. But when you really dig deep, like people love when they get a bookmark with their Kickstarter, man.
Yeah.
People love when they get that sticker. It's,
yeah,
it's weird. I mean, I like some of that stuff too. So that's a bad example, but the little things that like you think aren't a big deal or like, I just need to get the book to people, but like,
yeah,
and you put the fake baseball card in there or something. And it's like,
yeah,
that's the difference. And it's,
those are cool things too. No, I'm with you. Yeah. Like it's like we try to do that with stickers and pins, and we had two different types of pins and stickers with this last one. Mm-hmm. You know, I think with the next one, I really do like the idea of a bookmark because I think that's something that's cool. You know, we didn't explore that this last time, but I would totally be into that. That's the sort of thing I would like, just because I read a lot, not on a, you know, I don't like reading digitally. I like having something physical to pick up and leaf through mm-hmm. and have that, you know, sensation of actually turning a page, you know?
Well, and I have such bad ADD that I'm reading like four different graphic novels at once. And probably a novel on top of that, and then my weekly comics on top of that, and
mm-hmm.
so there's probably minimum of four books sitting at my nightstand that all have bookmarks in it. Damn. Because I got a certain part and then I start something else and then I come back to it later and I read more of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
comics have ruined my brain.
See, your mother told you. She told you.
Yeah. She wasn't wrong.
I don't care, but she wasn't wrong. Yeah. I hope she's listening. I hope she's like, see, Chris, I told you. Finally, you've admitted it.
The shit I've admitted to her. I mean, yeah, that'd be down the list of things that she's like, oh, I fucking told you.
Isn't that the best? Like years later, like, you know, you're sitting around hanging out with your parents, you're kind of buddies now, and mm-hmm. you're like, so yeah, you remember your old Ford Explorer? Yeah, what did you do to it? I kind of jumped it over the post road and almost took it into a train, you know, train bridge, a little bit, kind of. I wish I was kidding. I'm like, my mother looked at me. She's like, "Son of a bitch, is that why the shocks were screwed up? Is that your fault?" Maybe.
Uh-oh. Oh. Cat just jumped on the table, everybody.
Oh, that's it. You're not moving. You're not moving. If cat sits in your lap, you're stuck there for the next 5 hours.
Well, Mark, when the cat jumps on the table, that means I need to pay attention to it. Come here before you knock my computer over.
He's like, last call, pal. Last call.
So real quick, give the quick summary again, what you're doing with the book and where mm-hmm. people can go to submit. And then cool. Where can people find you online if you go on Twitter or whatever social media you like?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, as you see there, you can find me at Panther Pit on most things. So that's my Twitter. That's my Instagram. It's my Facebook, all that good stuff. But for us, for We Suck at Comics, you know, submissions go through waywardraven.com. You can get to us. On Instagram, it's Wayward Raven Media, as well as Facebook, as well as Threads now, as well as whatever other media were out there for the most part, other than Twitter, which is just at Wayward Raven. You can find us damnheroes.com every week on Wednesdays, brand new free strip. Yeah, you can check out our shop where we got a whole bunch of cool t-shirts like this. If you just go ahead to waywardraven.com, click on the shop page.
Definitely. And everybody, as always, I'll have that link in the show notes down below. So you can click on that and find the submission page and all the cool stuff that Wayward Raven does.
I'm also going to send you before. So if you want to add that to it, I totally forgot. We do have the Kickstarter page up. So if you wanted to follow that for We Suck at Comics too, and get notified when we do launch that next year.
Oh, definitely. I'll have that link down in the show notes down below too. So you can check that out. And it's a good idea because if you didn't get one and you get both of them in this one, I promise you, I'm making this promise for Mark, so he needs to fulfill it. I promise you, it's going to be a hell of a lot of comics.
Nice. We can do that. We can do that. That would be volume one and two bundle. Sounds awesome.
Yes. So Mark, thanks so much for dropping by, man. It's always a blast talking with you. And I look forward to the next time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.